thank you for tuning in and listening to Oasis of Love's Wednesday's message.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Bob. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to be excessively prosperous and walk in divine health? In other words, you just don't get sick. That's a pretty good deal. Sounds like a pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, but it's actually truth coming from God's Word. And we're going to start breaking this thing down because there's a reason why some people have it and a reason why some people don't. You know, it's always great to be around somebody who says, well, I just don't get sick. I mean, I went over 20 years without catching the flu. I just listened to what my mentor, Dad Hagen, used to talk about, and I just started putting it into practice. And so I'd make that my confession. And it works great. But you see, you got to keep feeding your faith. You got to keep starving your doubts. You got to keep, well, we're just going to get into all those different things, all right? So we're going to talk about the keys to having that excessive prosperity and divine health where you just don't get sick. Sounds like a pretty good plan to me. So anyway, if you got your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 reads like this. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctified means to be set apart for a special purpose. To sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is an important scripture for us to get a handle on because, you know, we think of ourselves like, you know, who am I? Well, he's that guy that looks back at me in the mirror in the morning. Hair going every which way. You know, got dog breath, so you got to do the whole brushing your teeth thing, you know, and trimming all the hairs that grow everywhere. The older you get, the weirder the hairs grow, and the faster they seem to grow where they're not supposed to grow. So you're doing all that kind of stuff, and you say, well, that's me. Well, you know, it is and it isn't. You got to understand who you are if you're going to walk in the covenant blessings of God. So you got to understand that you are a three-part person, just like the Godhead is a three-part person, and that it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they all interact together. And it's the same thing with us in our spirit, our soul, and our body. They all have to work together. Now, you can see yourself in that way as all three, but if you really want to understand it, you got to break it down a little bit and study the different components individually, spirit, soul, and body. So anyway, we need to see our humanity on the three levels of reality that God says we operate on, okay? And he says that your spirit, that comes from the Greek word pneuma, that's the breath of life. Remember when God breathed the breath into Adam and he became a living being? Well, that's the breath of life. That's the spirit of the man. And part of us is made, that's the part of us that's made to commune with God. It's often referred to as the heart or the most central part of our very being. That's our spirit man. And then there's the soul. That comes from the Greek word psuche, where we get psychiatry from and things like that. Psuche is the will, the emotions, and your reasoning part of your being. It's the actions of the mind, what most people will look at. It's the actions of the mind in developing a personality that interacts with the world and the other people that are around you. Notice that your soul has three parts, your will, your emotions, and your intellect. So we're going to understand that before we get done here. But it interacts with the people that are around you. And then there's the body, of course. That comes from the Greek word soma, and that means that's your earth suit. Just like a spaceman needs a spacesuit to live in outer space on the earth, you got to have your earth suit. And if you don't take care of that puppy, I'll tell you what, you get to go home to heaven earlier than you should. If all you eat is Twinkies and Ho-Hos and drink sugar water, you know, and sodas and whatnot, then it won't take too long and your body will start breaking down. So if you don't exercise it right and you don't feed it right, it's going to give you some trouble. I remember back when I was, you know, I just got out of high school. I was 18, started working at Midwest Foundry. And before I turned 20, I'm pushing 1,800-pound bowls of iron on an overhead I-beam by hand. And getting paid by how many tons of iron that I could pour in a night. Well, I broke my body down. I ended up in the hospital because my back just gave way on me. You know, it's funny. You know, sometimes as young men, we think that we're Superman. You know, just we don't have the cape and the spandex suit, but, you know, we're invincible. So we do things we shouldn't do. I can remember, you know, after I'd gotten married and got back from the Navy and all that, and I'd got born again, I was in my late 20s, and there was a gal in the church that she gave piano lessons, and part of doing the piano lessons was, you know, she had these great big tall upright pianos, and she'd find them here, there, and everywhere. And if you looked a little bit, you can find them for free because people just want to get them out of their house and nobody wants to pay for them. Well, the hard part is you got to go there and pick that sucker up and bring it home. So I can remember doing this all by myself, where I lifted that sucker up and I kicked a little toe dolly under it, and then I brought it back down, and then I just wheeled it out through the front door, out onto the porch, and I had a couple 2x12s and just run it right up into the back of a pickup all by myself. But who was that did that at Living Waters, Bob? It was the piano player there. Thank you. And her husband one time was doing that very same thing, and he was well up in his 70s at that point, and late 60s anyway, maybe in his 70s, and he'd just load them up on the back of his truck, wouldn't even strap them down. He was doing pretty good till one time he went out, and he picked one up, and as he was going over a railroad tracks, the whole thing, he got a little bit in a hurry there, you know, and it jumped right out of the back of his pickup truck, and it exploded into a million pieces. Because all those strings in there, you know, that the piano hammers hit and all that, are under to put a lot of pressure on it. When you break the harp, the whole thing just explodes on you. Well, you can overdo it with your physical body. So you got to pay attention, because if you break his physical body, you're going to heaven. That's it. Before your time, and that's not good. So you got to pay attention, right, to your spirit. You got to pay attention to your soul. You got to pay attention to your physical body, because it's with your physical body that interacts with the physical world that's around you. So you need all three parts of you operating at peak efficiency and in harmony with each other in order for your life to be a long and a happy affair. It's important. And by the way, that's your responsibility. That's not God's responsibility. That's your responsibility. I mean, you can pray for the healing, and God will interact with you in that way, but it's primarily your responsibility. So you got to be careful. So if you can, go ahead and turn over here to Genesis chapter 1. So we're looking at this package deal, and it's important for us to have that harmony and the structure of authority within our inner man in order to survive and thrive as a human being on planet Earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see here that God created man in his image and his likeness, right? That's what he says. Now, the word image, that means that we look like him. So there's a lot of similarities in how we look and how God looks. A lot of similarities. You know, because he said he created us in his image, and he also said he created us in his likeness, which is even more fantastic. When you study that out, you find out that this likeness means that we have the same manner of being as he is. Wow. Doesn't the Bible say, as he is, so are we in this world? So we have that. We have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of us. We look like him, and we have the same manner of being as he is, his same attributes. Isn't that powerful? Even Adam in the garden, God would bring the animals to him, and he would give it a name. He'd finish the whole creation process by giving the nature, speaking the nature of that creature into that creature. So that's how that animal reacted. That's how he fulfills his part in the animal kingdom. Now over here in verse 28, it says we were commissioned. We can see here that God says he wanted us to have dominion. So as we look at this in the original plan for God, he downloaded into our DNA, into the very building blocks of who we are, you know, the ability to have dominion over the earth, to subdue it and to be fruitful and multiply. That means to prosper. It's not just about having more and more kids, although that's a part of it. So there's something on the inside of us that compels us to try to succeed and to reject the status quo, to press in and to improve on everything that's around us, you know, and to experience increase in every area of our life. Now, some people take it to the ditch over here, and it's all about the Benjamins. You know, it's all about how much I got. How big is my house? How expensive is my car? And we know that anything in an excess is an unhealthy thing. But we are created to improve on this planet, to improve our condition. It's amazing if you study. I'm just really a student of history. And yet look back, you know, 100 years ago, and my goodness, they were just coming out with a car. They were just coming out. Telegraph was a new thing and all of that. I mean, you know, and in 1918, the guy who was running the patent office, the United States Patent Office, boldly declared that everything that could be invented had been invented, and there'll be no more things invented because we can't have any more than what we got. Aren't you glad he was an idiot, you know? Because we've had so many things. I can remember as a little kid, I'm sure Merle can too, about, you know, reading in the comic books about Dick Tracy and his two-way wrist radio thing that he had, you know? Now we got cell phones and Bluetooth and everything else. You draw a lot of people standing next to you talking to somebody that isn't there. You know, that was always so interesting for me because I don't have the best hearing and stuff. So I'm thinking like maybe they're talking to me and I'm ignoring them. So I turn around and I'd start talking to them and they look at me like, what are you doing? You know, because they're talking to somebody else on their Bluetooth. You know, it's just the craziest thing. They say that the intelligence, the knowledge, the sum total of knowledge in the world is doubling every 18 months. It doubles every 18 months. So yeah, that's a part of our human nature. We want to have that. There's nothing wrong with it if it's kept in balance for the right reasons. To have this ability to subdue and to have dominion. You know, when it comes to these kind of things, you know, the world always starts referring to these things in like terms of mental health, you know, because we know there's some people that they just don't work, they just don't do anything, and they just exist. And the world tries to approach them and to help them in their physical and mental conditions, but they only see man on two realms, on as far as their soul and their physical body. That's all they recognize. They don't understand that there's a spirit that's in there that makes all the difference. And then it's not over. Just because you've worked on the two sides of man, there's still the third side that really is the most important one of all. So in order for us to complete this God-given mission for our lives, we first have to get our inner act together, right? If it doesn't work on the inside, how are you going to do anything on the outside? Because it's always an inside job. That's why when God gets you born again, I mean, on the outside, you look the same. Same got the same manners. A lot of times you have the same vocabulary, and you're working on that. You know, that's what I had to do. A lot of different things are coming along the line, but God starts on the inside. And then what's on the inside gets real and gets its act together. Well, then it starts affecting everything on the outside around you. So it's important for you to have that. We got to get our act together in order for our spirit, soul, and body to flow in a healthy harmony and so that it can prosper. So important. So go over here to 3 John chapter 2. This is our keynote scripture. 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So if you want to look at the fundamental key to prospering and having divine health, now there's a difference between divine health means you don't get sick. Divine healing means if you get sick, God heals you supernaturally. I'd rather just not get sick at all, if that's up to me. I'll choose that any day. You know, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. Now, I define rich as like, you know, I buy the two-pack of the deodorant instead of just the one-pack because that's all I can afford. I'm prospering because I got that. I'm prospering. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, we only had one car in the family. That was it. That's all we ever had. My wife and I, she's got her car, and I got my truck, and wow, we're prospering, you know? I'm living in a house that's my own. I'm prospering. A lot of good things are happening, and I enjoy the prospering that God brings into my life. But the Bible right here says the key to it is that it's your soul prospering. That he would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. In other words, it's proportional. If you're just a little bit prosperous in your soul, your will, your emotions, your intellect, then you're going to have a little bit of prosperity over here and a little bit of divine health over here. The two work hand in hand. And the cool thing about your soul is that it's something that you can do. It's something you can change. It's something that with God's help and a little wisdom that he shows to you, you can change the way you're going. A lot of people I talk to, they go, well, that's just the way I am. I got Irish in me, so I always want to fight. And other people says, yes, I'm German, you know, and I'm here to dominate. And other people, they throw this whole ethnic thing out there. That's not who you are. You're who God made you to be. And who God made you to be as a born-again child of God is a whole different critter altogether. So who you are in Christ, who am I, is a big, big deal. So when I look at how I am versus how God wants me to be, I have the choice of being of saying, okay, God, what I thank you for the way I am, because, you know, I'm better than some people, not as bad as others. But I want to be like you want me to be. So I'm going to take what I see in your word, Lord, and I'm going to start working in that direction. I'm going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be one who's going to be putting my faith into action so that I can be transformed by the renewing of my, what? Mind. That's your seat of reasoning. That's your will, your emotions, and your intellect. That's your soulical realm is what's going on in your mind. Your spirit man is a totally different critter altogether. Remember, you're a three-part person. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. That's the easiest way to look at it. So when he says that you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, we got to look, what does it mean to prosper? Some people think prosper is in a financial realm. Well, it is, but that's not the only place. Well, prosper is when you got too much. You got more than enough to take care of what you, and a surplus so that you can touch somebody else. If you were prospering in your time, you wouldn't be having to work, you know, a 16-hour job shift, you know, working two jobs, pulling doubles or whatever, in order to keep the lights on in your home. Right? You'd have, if you are prosperous with your time, you'd do your work, but you'd have all kinds of time left over to do the things that God wants you to do. Amen? So it's important to have that, not only in the realm of your finances, but in every area of your life. It means to get along well. It means to prosper, to succeed, to gain increase. So you got to understand the linking here. God wants your spirit, soul, and body, your will, your emotions, and your intellect to be successful. He wants you in your soulical realm to get along well, to have increase. Now think about it. Some people are dominated by their emotions. Every little thing that comes along that they don't like, they just pitch a nuclear fit. Met people like that? Turn on the nightly news. You'll see all kinds of people like that. Dressing all kinds of funny, and they got this whole snowflake thing going on. They get offended at everything, and they want everybody to be tolerant to their poor little sensibilities and all of that. I mean, they're emotional train wrecks, and they want to rule the world. Because everybody has to serve their feelings. I'm sorry, I'm not going to serve your feelings. Nobody serves my feelings. Why should I serve your feelings? My feelings are kind of like the barometer, the weather gauge of what's going on in my will, my emotions, and my intellect. So I need emotions, or else I'm more like a robot than I am a person. God has emotions. Did you know that? See, it's okay to have emotions, but you don't want to have your emotions control your life. If something happens that makes you very angry, you need to deal with that anger. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. So if I'm being ruled by my emotions, then I'm all over the map. There are certain people they call narcissists, and everything about it, they were raised and spoiled as children, and they never got their poor little feelings hurt, so they develop this whole mental viewpoint of everybody around them as people that are there to serve my feelings because I'm the most important person on the universe. That's not healthy. That's not a prosperous soul. And if you think everything has to pass through the filter of your reason, everything's got to make sense to you before you're going to act on it, then you're not going to have a prosperous soul. I talk to people about God's laws of giving and receiving. I told you this before a number of times about a gal that came into my office. She had 7 credit cards, and all of them were maxed out because she felt that the only way she could be a good mom was to be her best friends to the best friend to all of her kids who were all parasites. And so mom maxed out her credit cards to keep her kids loving her. How many of you know you create tyrants when you do that? So she finally got to the point where all she can barely afford to do is pay the minimums on all these credit cards. And she had two cards that were pretty good size on their credit limit, and they were maxed out. She couldn't charge another nickel. She couldn't charge a pack of gum on it. And she comes in to see me, and I'm talking to her about the Word of God and stuff. She goes, Yeah, I know, but. See, everything was passing through her seat of reasoning. When I asked her to give me her credit cards, I tell this to anybody who's in a lot of credit card debt. Okay, take the one that you owe the least amount of money on and double up on that one until you get it paid off. And then take that money, and then now you're going to put that on the next one you owe the least amount on. Now you're hitting that one with a bigger hammer. And once that one's done, don't go out and throw yourself a party and go out to eat every other day. Now take that, what you had for the first two that you paid off. Now you got some surplus money. Now you're going to tack the next one. But I needed to get her off of this addiction that she had to credit cards because she was worshiping the God of MasterCard and Visa. She wasn't worshiping the true God. And this is a woman who grew up in the church from a little bitty baby all the way up. Her mom and dad were very devout Christians and very serious about financial discipline, and how they just didn't go by their feelings again. So when she handed me all of her cards, I was talking to her for a little bit. You know, I was on the other side of my desk, and I pulled open my big drawer, and I pulled out a pair of scissors. And, buddy, I'll tell you what, that gal moved fast off that couch in my office. Boy, she was terrified that I was going to cut up credit cards that she couldn't do anything with anyway. But you see, the addiction was there. Everything went through her reasoning. Your will, your emotions, your intellect, your soulical realm. She was in bondage. Her soul was not prosperous. It was not succeeding because it was not in the proper balance. See, if you read your Bible and God tells you that if you want to be blessed, you got to give money, but I don't have enough money to get by. See, reason says can't. Well, the difference between can't and won't. Because it takes faith to do this. God's asking you to do something that takes faith. And tithing, the full tithe, is really a matter of submitting yourself to God and operating on a higher level of understanding than just what it looks like in your checking account. And God continually comes through for you. I can tell you time after time where God did that. So I had that prospering, but I had to get past the reasoning side that says, gosh, I can't put pencil to paper and tell you how I can afford to do that. And yet God reveals himself again and again and again. You got to have a prosperous soul or else you'll talk yourself right out of the promises of the Word of God. So many things God tells us to do are contrary to reason. I mean, I'm going to be victorious through surrender. I'm going to become rich because I'm giving money away. those things just boggle the mind. And if that's where you're locked into, you're going to stop yourself. Think about it. You cannot move up higher in this life than your soul will allow. Let me say that again. You cannot move up higher in this life more than what your soul will allow you to go up. Think about it. If you're being led by your head instead of by the Spirit of God, by your spirit, understanding from the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, then you will put the brakes on. The Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you read that particular verse of Scripture in Luke chapter 6, you'll find out he's mainly talking about forgiveness. It says, for with the measure that you give it, that's the measure it's going to come back to you. So in other words, you get to choose how much you get coming back to you. Just like the farmer who's out there, getting ready during the time where he's sowing his crops. Well, I can't afford to put all the, I can only afford this much seed corn. I need twice as much as that, but I've only got money for this amount, so I'm only going to plant half as many corn, plants as I normally do in this field. Don't you know that's going to affect his outcome on the other end? I can only afford this much fertilizer, so I'm going to spread it out, to over twice the area that I normally would. He's not going to get a very good harvest, is he? Because what are you doing on the front end determines what you get on the back end. But listen to me, if your mind talks you out of it, you can stop God. It's like I shared last week, Jesus comes into his own hometown. Bible says they were offended at him because they knew who he was in the natural, and he was a carpenter's son and all this other kind of stuff. And so they didn't receive anything from God. Jesus was only able to heal a few people with minor ailments. And he marveled at their unbelief. So you can shut down the power of God that's operating in your life. And it happens between your ears. The key to moving up higher in this life is simply developing a prosperous soul. And there's a whole lot that goes into that. So I'm not going to even pretend to try to get it through it tonight. There's no way. I'm just kind of setting the table so you can understand the basics, and then we're going to start plugging in a whole lot of stuff over the next several weeks. So I'm going to dedicate myself, and I hope you do too, to come, because we're going to find out what the elements of a prosperous soul. There's a lot that goes into it, and it's all through your Bible. And when I start sharing scriptures with you, you're going, gosh, I've read that 100 times. I didn't realize it was talking about that. And that's the neat thing about God's Word. So what does 3 John 2 tell us? In 3 John chapter 2, brethren, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This is telling us, number one, that God wants us all to prosper and have divine health. That's God's highest and His best for all of us. God doesn't want any of us poor. God doesn't want any of us sick. Because there's no poverty and there's no sickness in heaven. And don't we pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So that's what God wants, what's in heaven is to be here on the earth with us. So there's no such thing as something for nothing in this universe. 3 John 2 tells us that links the two things together. Prospering and health, divine health, comes right back down to what are we doing with our soul? Are we submitting it to God? Are we changing what we think the way life should be into what God says that our life should be? I heard this from John Maxwell. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same things the same way you've always done them and expecting a different result. So we have to understand that if we had a certain lifestyle, a certain mentality, a certain habit pattern established in our life, and all of us did before we got born again, we all do. How do you think you function in this world? And a lot of those assumptions are based on erroneous information. So how is it that we get to that point where we meet Jesus and make Him the Lord of our life? How can we justify maintaining those same set of assumptions after we become born again and expect them to give us different results? So it's important that we look at this, that God tells us there's no such thing as something for nothing in the universe or in the spirit realms of God. We have a part to play in it all. Now, our part may be small compared to what God's doing, but we got to do our part because we're in a blood covenant. And a blood covenant has two main participating partners that are coming together in an agreement. It's not all just one-sided. It's not all about what God is doing. It's what are we doing along with what God is doing. So important for you to get that. Just as much as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Just as that is speaking to a sin-starved world, John 3:16 or 3 John 2 is talking to believers, that He wants us to be prosperous and healthy as the best possible position for a believer to be in order to fulfill God's plan for his life. God's telling all of us as believers, this is relating to us. Even though John the Apostle was writing to Gaius, his buddy, he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and all of it's good for us today, not just for him who it was primarily being written to. So we've got to do that. A wish only becomes a reality when you put your faith into action to pursue it. So wishing and hoping isn't going to change nothing. Because the devil will make sure that you have all the worldly stimuli to keep you worried, to keep you fearful, to keep you locked into the old way of doing life, and your soul doesn't change. The way you think doesn't change. The way your emotions get triggered doesn't change. If you don't add anything more into your mental process, if you do not become more and more intelligent, you are locked into where you're at right now. If you don't read your Bible and get it on the inside of you, then it isn't doing you any good at all. You have to be willing to invest money into your mental capacity, or else you're going to stay the way you are. It's the books you read. It's the tapes you listen to. It's the input that's coming into this marvelous computer called the human brain. It's your responsibility to fill it up. And I heard one guy said, you know, I think it was on Facebook, he says, this right here isn't fat. It's just I've got so old, I filled my brain up with all the wisdom. It won't hold anymore, and so it just drops down here. I thought that was pretty funny. Foolish, but funny. So the first step to developing a proper, prosperous, healthy soul is taking responsibility for it. Okay, Lord, I see that. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to ask you to help me, Lord. But I'm dedicating myself to getting a prosperous soul because it affects absolutely everything else. There's no way that you can have a sick soul and have a healthy spirit and a healthy body. It's impossible. It's impossible because all three affect each other. But you can do something about your prosperous soul, so it's huge. Think about it. The children of Israel, they had to choose to change themselves in order to pursue the promises that God had. He's bringing them out of Egypt, getting them all the way up into the promised land. Sends the 12 spies and 10 come back going, there's giants and we look like grasshoppers. Two said, hey, we're well able. God's right with us. And remember, we got the big guy on our side. But because they could not get beyond what they saw and what they heard, what came in through their five physical senses into their soul, they were unwilling to trust God and go in and take the promised land. And therefore, everybody who was 20 years or older when they came out of Egypt, when they were delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, the two spies, they came back and with a good report said, we can do it. Everybody, I mean everybody else, died and didn't go into the wilderness or didn't go into the promised land. It had to be the people that were 20 years and younger. And those that were born in the 40 years of captivity, as they were out there in the wilderness doing the laps around Mount Sinai, those were the only people that were allowed to go in. So you see, it's huge. It's very, very important to us. If we're going to possess our promise, the promises of God, we got to be willing to change ourselves. So many people want no-fault religion. Well, we can't blame God because it didn't happen. And I don't want to blame myself because that makes me feel bad. So I guess it's just God's ways are mysterious and nobody can understand why things happen. That's silly, isn't it? If God says he gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that means we should be able to figure this out as we go along. And if anybody missed it, I'm the first one to admit it when I miss it. I live in a fallen world. I'm still trying to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. It's not a performance-based issue, but because God loved me so much and filled me with this Holy Spirit and his love and gives me the mind of Christ, then I'm going to work on that part. I'm going to work on that part, okay? So think about it. 80%, 80 to 90%, some people even say 100%. There's guesses that are out there that say that the chronic illnesses are caused by stress. Diabetes, hypertension, migraines, all kinds of physical ailments, stomach problems. So many of them are because of stress, which is a mental condition. So it's in your soulical realm. See, is the body afflicted by illness because of a non-prosperous soul? Well, heck yes. Like I said, an emotionally driven life, man, you're taking all kinds of nerve pills and blood pressure pills and every other kind of pill, you know? If you don't see yourself the way God sees you, next thing you know, you're eating yourself to death. You know, death by fork, you know? You just keep feeding yourself up till you weigh 600-700 pounds, and next thing you know, you got to see yourself the way God sees you. In Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Wow. A prosperous soul. Easier said than done. but well worth the effort, because the benefits start kicking in. It gets better and better for you as you're believing God for certain things. The minute you start working on getting your soul to line up with the Word of God, when you get like a biblical mentality, a biblical worldview, I look at things the way I want everything I look at to be just like the way God looks at them. I mean, the 10 spies, they looked at the giants. Oh my gosh, they're 6, 7, 8, 10 feet high. And yet, Joshua and Caleb says, yeah, but God, I mean, last time I looked at that cloud, it's got to be at least 30,000 feet high, okay? I think we're going to be all right. See, they were looking at the God side of things, where the other 10 were looking at the whatever came into their 5 physical senses, and then they figured it out in their own little BB brain that, oh, it can't be done. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen? You got to base your choices on God's leadings and your proper identity in him. And if you'll do that, you know that you can do all things, because Christ is going to strengthen you. Amen? Think about it. So many times, you can know the will of God for your life, but because you don't have a renewed mind, you don't have a healthy soul, you're going to refuse to step out on the calling that God has for your life, and then you're going to justify it so that you feel good about yourself. No, I can't do that. I can't. You know, when you say can't to God, it's just like cussing. If God said you can, and you say I can't, what are you doing? You're assailing the integrity of the God of the universe who created you, who knows every part of the atoms in your that makes up your physical body, knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And if he says you can do it, it's because he's already looked out into the future and saw you doing it. Just one perfect way of looking at this, I think, that just tells it all. You know, I've heard this so many times that, you know, if you take 100 people and believe that there's a call of God in their life to go into the pastorate, just the pastorate, not talking missionaries, traveling ministers, anything else. If you took 100 of those people that went to Bible school and finished their studies and now they are capable, they are trained, and are released into following the plan of God for their life, only 10 of them out of 100, only 10 of them will even attempt to do anything. The other 90 will park their butt in the most comfortable place they can find, and that's as far as it goes. I'll go to church, Lord, but I trained you for the ministry. I know, but that looks too hard. I mean, I've heard people getting hurt. I'm just going to plug myself into a good home church. I'll be the best usher I can be. I didn't call you to be an usher. But I'll give faithfully. 90% of them won't even touch it. Went to school, paid the money, graduated, ready to go. Nope, can't do it. What happened? What happened? Well, their head overrode their heart. If God said you can do it, and you say, yeah, I need help, but okay, I'll go to school. And when it's all said and done, you look at the giants that are out there and say, no, I can't. It's no different than the spies for Israel, is it? And then here's the other part of it. The 10 that actually go out and do, the 10% that actually go out and try to do ministry, within the first 2 years, there's only 2 left standing. 2% stay in the ministry after 2 years. 90% won't even start. And of the 10, 8 of them will drop out in the first 2 years. There's only 2 left. What happened? It's all about their soul. Can you handle the stress? Can you handle the pain? You know, when God called Paul into the ministry, he says, I want to tell him all that he's going to suffer. Wow, yeah, that's a recruiting tool. I think that makes me want to go out into the ministry too. Yeah, they'll kill you. They'll tear you up. They'll make you poor. They'll kick you out. They'll make you homeless. You know, they'll suck everything out of you and then walk away from you like you didn't even matter to begin with. And before you know it, you just get to that point where you're going, I just can't. But you got to have a strong soul. You cannot be led by your emotions. You'll be wrong 99.99% of the time if you're letting your emotions make your decisions for you in the ministry. I can tell you that for a fact. When the Bible says that love is patient, you don't want to be patient. Love is kind. I want to be kind. Did you see what they did to me? Can I do that to them? That's not a prosperous soul. God can't bless that mess. God cannot bless it. And the devil, he just rides high carnival over you because he just keeps pushing all those buttons that set you off. and you just keep getting more and more disqualified for the blessings of heaven. The real problem isn't your parents, your boss, your upbringing, your environment, but it's that space between your ears, really. And that's something you can do. You can do something about it. So I love this. Then follow along in 3 John verses 3 and 4. Not only does he want us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers, but he goes on and he says, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Wow. So what's he saying? He wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, but you better get into truth, man, because there's a whole lot of junk on the inside of you that needs fixing. And God in his loving kindness will work with you patiently, continually, as much as you want, as fast as you want to go at it. If you want to go at it slow, he'll be with you till the day you die. He'll love you every step of the way. He won't hold any condemnation against you at all. But if you're like a hog at the trough like I am, buddy, I'm praying, "God, I want it all." That means I got to do a whole lot of changing in a whole lot of hurry, or else I'm not going to live long enough to get there. But I want to see the best that God has. If it was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, then it's worth my pursuing it. And if it means I got to change, okay, I'm in. I know I'm messed up, you know? Doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Those are the people that experience the transformations of the soul that requires us to experience God's prosperity. That's what God requires of us. And I'll get there. But I got to continually pour God's word into my soul. You know why? Because I leak. I leak, man, like a sieve. So it's got to be pouring in all the time or else it just runs right out. That's the way all of us are. It's our humanity. It gets in the way. You know, there's certain parts of your flesh that doesn't want you to change. I don't want to change. I know a guy that loves God, says he loves God, but he likes smoking weed. Well, God made marijuana, didn't he? I says, yeah, it was corrupted in the fall. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Wow, give me a scripture for that. Well, I just don't care. That's the way I think it is. So what it does is it messes with his will, his emotions, and his intellect. Believe me, I know, because I used to be in that culture. And so he stays frozen. He doesn't get to go any deeper with God. He doesn't get to experience the blessings of God like he should. Because I just want it this way. Makes me feel good, so it can't be wrong. Like that old song, you know, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Yeah, okay. There's reasons why people leave and go home to heaven way too soon. Zig Ziglar, by the way, did a study study by Harvard University that showed that 85% of the reasons for success, accomplishments, and promotions in the business world comes from our attitude more than from our technical expertise. Our attitude, isn't that a function of your soul, your will, your emotions, your intellect? 85% of it comes from that, not just because you know how to make the trains run on time and any technical expertise you may have. For me, it would have been as an electrician. Do you have a good attitude or a bad attitude? Do you get along with people or are you just one of those grouches? You always carrying on, putting other people down, the boss and everybody else. You know, you ever work with people like that? Man, they suck the oxygen out of the room. You don't want to work with people like that. And heaven help them, I've worked in places before, several places before, that the only requirement that they had, and this happened even in the military, to get promoted had nothing to do with your attitude, very little. And so somebody with a real crappy attitude, they get promoted into a position of authority. Oh my gosh. The vast, vast, vast majority of people who quit a job, it isn't because they aren't making enough money, it's because of turkeys they got to work for. Bad managers run off more people than anything else by far. By far. So you got to enlarge your mind by embracing the God thoughts from the Word. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures and then I'll turn you loose tonight. But we're going to get into this. I want your soul to be prosperous. I don't want you getting in any kind of guilt tripping because you're not there. I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying the devil knows how to work us, how to get us out of the will of God, how to miss our blessing when they come our way. So wouldn't it be better just to be more sensitive to the leadings of God than the tricks of the devil? That just makes sense, doesn't it? So let's look into it. We'll do this over the next, probably for the rest of the year. So let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 3. Think about this. How important. Think about this from the thoughts of, okay, how does this pertain to my mind, my soul, my will, my emotions, and my intellect? He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches, by the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and breadth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think." Think about it. He wants us to comprehend, to understand, to recognize the depth of what the why behind the what, of why God does the things that he does. And he wants to bless us way beyond everything that we could ever ask or think. This is talking directly about your soulical realm. "According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Everybody say, yeah, amen. No doubt. I'm sure. I'll give that to you, God. But over in the New Testament, I love this part. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to think God's thoughts. That is the dominant way that we perceive reality, because we have adopted his thoughts as superseding our thoughts. When I went to Bible school out in Tulsa, I was stunned by how many things in the 2 years I was there studying that I had to unlearn. Things that I thought I knew about how God operates. Kingdom principles. How the anointing comes and goes. I found out I was so far wrong that I had to just jettison those ideas. And I was being taught that by some very sincere ministers that I held in high esteem. But when they bring out scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that says, no, it's not that way, it's this way, I had to go, well, then it's that way. So I had to throw out stinking thinking and grab a hold of the truth. So I got God's thoughts. I got the mind of Christ. I need to start working on that. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." I like that. It's like hiking up your britches, man. "Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Wow. Gird up the loins of your mind. I don't know about you, I just get a mental picture. And it was like a goofy thing, you know. A goofy, you know, the Mickey Mouse dog, you know. Gird up the loins of your mind. Pulling his britches way up, you know. Anyway. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, and I'll leave you with this. It says, "A man's mind, stretched by a new idea, never goes back to its original dimensions." A man's mind, stretched to a new idea, never goes back to its original dimensions. One of the best things I ever did, and I regretted it. I have had so many mixed feelings about it through the years, but I got to tell you, I grew up in this little bitty old one-horse town. Went to Coldwater High School. This was my universe. Pretty sad, man. This is all you know. It's like, you know, if you put a goldfish in a bowl this big around, goldfish won't outgrow it. You take that goldfish and you put him in a 500-gallon aquarium, and you'll have koi, which is the big fish. big old honking, you know, pretty colored carp, basically. Because the goldfish will stop growing based on the size of where he lives. When I went into Uncle Sam's Canoe Club, the United States Navy, and entered into all the training in the field of becoming a nuclear operator and an electrician, I found out that this world was a whole lot bigger than what I ever thought it was. My heavens. I think the farthest I'd ever gone in a car was to Pittsburgh. And that's on the western end of Pennsylvania, just the other side of Ohio, you know. Just a little bit past Ohio, you're into Pittsburgh. Because that's where my wife, some of her relatives live. And I thought, my heavens, and I'm driving this little Pinto, you know. Yeah, basically a puddle jumper, a roller skate with a roof on it, you know. And when I got in the Navy, shoot, I'm all over the place. I'm studying deep stuff that they never taught me in high school. I had no idea what I was capable of until I was thrown into that environment. There was a whole lot of negatives that went on, but the one big thing that came out of it is I realized ain't nothing can't be accomplished. Just from being exposed to the technology of submarine, you know, nuclear submarines and all of that stuff, and nuclear power plants and operating a nuclear reactor, I've done that. Once you've been out that big, you will never shrink back down to a little bitty old hometown boy. I see that when I visit my old high school friends that never went into the military, that never left this town. They're still the goldfish in the little bowl. And I look at things from a whole different perspective now, because I've seen there's a whole lot more than what cold water has to offer. Now, I love you living in cold water. For the longest time, I couldn't. Be honest with you, I just couldn't. I come back home, it's like, my God, I just feel like I'm in a straitjacket. I mean, when I got out of the Navy, I came back home, worked at the foundry that I hated so much, I went in the Navy to get away from. And it was like a surreal out-of-body experience to go into work and be a monkey at the attached to a machine, doing what the machine couldn't do to make the product that the company needed to keep the doors open. I hated it. And now that I've had all of this experience and wisdom and everything else and knowledge poured into my head, I'm looking at this thing going, my God, it's like Back to the Future with Marty McFly, you know. It's like, so I hated cold water. I just felt like it was, you know, it was a place where you were getting slowly strangled. And so I wanted to spread my wings, and we went to Texas and did all kinds of different stuff. But now I'm just so glad to be back, because now I got a hold of God, and He's more than anything I could experience in this life on this earth. So living here, it's a delight, but there's so much more. And I want you to see the possibilities of you experiencing that in your life. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for hungry hearts that want to know. Because, Lord, we want it all. Who's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And, Lord, if there's anything in my life and in my thinking that is stopping it from happening in my life, Lord, I want to change that. Because I want everything, Lord, that you prepared for me. And I just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A prosperous soul.
We hope you enjoyed and got something out of this message. Thank you again for listening. Join us at Oasis of Love Family Church, 341 North Hudson Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m., and our Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m.